sometimes things happen that are just a surprise. Well, this is Stories and Stuff, and this is Joy Bubbles in Minneapolis, your storyteller. I'll tell you about a couple surprises, actually. One day I was riding in a van, and on the radio, they played a song back in the days when they actually had records still. And it was a song by Whiteheart. It was called Hotline. It was like, it was on a Christian station. It was sort of like a hotline to God. So at the beginning, they had these sounds of the push-button phone, you know, touch-tone tones. And I can tell by ear the number they're dialing. They were slow enough for me to hear the number, and I remembered it till I got home. And it was a 10-digit number without a 1. And I decided to put a 1 in front of it and dial it. And, you know, a real nice lady answered and said, hello. And she just sounded nice. And so I said, oh, you know what? Your phone number, the tones of it was given out, was played in a song at the beginning of a sub called Hotline. It's by a group called Whiteheart. You haven't heard of them, have you? Oh, indeed I have. You know my son is Mark, the leader of the band. Mark Gersmel. Really? So you mean he went and put my number in there? And I said, yeah, his mother's number. Now, isn't that, oh, she said, oh, that rascal. And, you know, we talked for about an hour. And later, I was talking about it to a newspaper column, and they printed a little thing about it. And darn if it didn't get to Rhonda in Indiana. And she said she remembered that conversation and enjoyed it and stuff, and sent a note to the paper. So it's kind of funny the way surprises happen. You know, though, there was another day back in 1972 when I was in Millington, Tennessee. I worked at a little phone company, finding troubles in their local system and stuff, looking for technical problems. And during lunch, I'd go over to a place called the Coffee Cup. It was about a block. I could walk it, you know. And right after lunch, I was coming back, and I was crossing a driveway, and surprise, got hit by a truck. Well, could I say hit? I guess I should say really backed into by a truck. It was fairly gentle. You talk about startled, scared, and surprised. I kind of walked along with it for a couple steps, and then somehow I grabbed the bumper and pulled myself up on it, and it was continuing to back up. And I was so scared, I couldn't say anything. You know, it's pretty rare when, you know, I'm always have something to talk about, but right then, I couldn't say a thing. I just held onto that bumper and so tight that I couldn't let go. And I started praying, and I thought, well, maybe I could let go and run real fast and go across it. And I heard this very firm, like, inner voice, no, no, you would fall. The truck is wide. You'd fall before you got there. And don't do it. Don't do it. Hold on. But I thought, well, as soon as the truck speeds up, I'm going to get knocked off and run over it or something. You know, once it gets to the end of the driveway, it's going to speed up. I couldn't yell, I couldn't do anything except hold on. And I thought, you know, every inch the truck backs up, you know, this could be the last day there is, at least for me. It's hard to imagine that the world will just kind of continue to go on once I'm not in it anymore. And I even thought of the book I was about halfway through. I'd never get to know the ending. It's funny how things like that pop into your mind. Well, I kept going, and every second that it kept backing up, I thought, well, it's going to get to the end of the driveway and turn and speed up and everything, and I won't be able to hold on anymore. Before long, something happened. I was so scared I couldn't figure out what it was at first. There was a change, and I tried to get my mind in gear to find out what the change was, and it took me a little while. Oh, my God. Oh, thank you. The truck stopped. Thank you, God. That's what it is. It was silent. It was that wasn't moving anymore. And then a little noise of even silenter silence. The motor turned off. He sat there for a while, the driver. I sat there for a while. I really couldn't do much else. He finally got out of the truck. He was saying, oh, Jesus, God, he was saying, and kind of crying and stuff. And he went way out in the grass and was sick and came back and sat down beside me. Said, are you okay? And I tried to talk, sort of. And so he walked me over where we could sit down. And he said, oh my God, my eyes have been getting worse and worse. I knew I shouldn't be driving, but it's my job and everything to feed my family and my kids and everything. And I knew I should have told somebody, and here I just about went and killed a blind man. My eyes are getting really, really bad, and I didn't know what to do. And I said, well, you know, it worked out all right. You know, you didn't get hurt, and I'm not hurt. Just a little shook up is all, but I'll be okay. I am okay, you know. And he was still shaking and stuff, and we sat together, and it was, he said, I'm going to go in and call somebody, and they can, they're going to come and pick me up in the truck and everything. I got to go in and call in a couple minutes once I'm a little less shaky. This is the very last time I'm going to drive. He said, you know what? Why don't you just hit me? Here, you can feel where I am. Just go ahead and hit me. And I said, well, I know you've had a lot of good ideas in your time, but this is just not one of the best ideas you've ever had, you know. Well, it's just awful what I did, just awful. And I said, well, you know what? The reason I know it's a bad idea, he said, well, why is that? And I said, because I was at a blind school in New Jersey, and they hit me and my sister. It wasn't just spankings. They hit us where there was scabs and bruises, you know, drew blood and stuff. And when they pick us up and shake us real hard, I would get all tingly, funny feeling, and sometimes kind of forget where I was and lose my memory for a little while and stuff. And all that hitting and shaking and stuff, it didn't ever really help either one of us, and I don't think it helped the ones that hit us either. So that's just not one of your best ideas, you know. And he kind of laughed a little bit and said, I guess you're right. And so we just kind of sat together for a while, getting calmed, and he did go in and call and said, I'm going to have to turn in my driver's license. And then his voice shook and said, I'm going to give up my car keys, too. I can't imagine what it feels like, somebody that depends on driving and to be free and get in the car and everything and not be able to do that anymore. But I said, well, have you been to a doctor? And he said, well, no, I didn't dare tell anybody. And I said, well, maybe it's something that they can fix or something. You don't know. Maybe it's going to get worse, but it's something you'll want to know. And there is services for the blind, and, you know, there's other jobs you can get. You know, maybe you could be a dispatcher or a manager of trucking if you like that, or maybe you could get real good at playing the drums, or I don't know. There's just all kinds of things you could do. You could maybe work in an office, or maybe go back to college. Services for the blind will pay for that for blind people. So, well, I'm not blind. No, but maybe you're just a little visually impaired, and that'll work too if you're, maybe you're not blind, but maybe you're legally blind, you know. And so they came and picked him up and drove his truck, and I never did find out what happened to him. And I calmed down, and I knew one thing I had to do before I went back to work. I went over to that same driveway. And I said, if I don't do this right now, I don't know when I'll ever get a chance to do it. So I crossed the thing about 6 times back and forth to kind of get used to not being too scared of it. I don't know how much it helped, but sometimes after that, maybe in my dreams, I would think the truck was coming, or I'd feel myself fall off it and start to get squished and wake up or something. Or sometimes if I'd hear a motor on the driveway. I just had to wait for them to go. I couldn't cross while I was listening to that motor. It was just kind of scary, you know. I hope everything with him turned out all right. I never did find out. I went back to work. They were pretty silent when it comes to me. I just kind of came in there and we didn't talk too much. I just kind of went back to the phone and started doing my work. I was somewhat late, but they didn't really say anything, and I never really talked about it. A small town like that, they probably already knew. There was a big Navy base there. As a matter of fact, I even lived on Navy Road, N-A-V-Y, Navy Road, and so was the phone company. I could walk there. So, I pray that things happened okay with him. I still think about that sometimes when I'm walking, even with somebody else, and we have to cross right near a motor. I remember how it felt when that truck bumped into me. It's funny how you remember things like that. It's all kinds of surprises, isn't there? Oh, next time there'll be another story. Stay strong, take care of each other, and don't let your hammock be lonely. Summer will be gone in a while. And find some place to play, and don't let God laugh alone. Bye for now.
Begin speaking at the tone.